Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome, Rabbi Michael Katz here with you live on Judaism 101.9. It's great to be in your company. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in the Highveld. A little bit chillier, a little bit cooler the last day or so, especially today. And kind of feeling of changing seasons maybe coming towards the changing of the month. But we're going to be talking about that in a short while. Let's begin, as we often do, with important events that have happened in history and that come up in these days, of course, going according to the Jewish calendar. Although people have remarked that this year there is a strange synchronicity, certainly in the early part of the year, between the secular calendar and the Jewish calendar, in that in January the dates lined up in the Jewish month, and they were going to start again on this coming Shabbat, on Shabbos, which is the beginning of the month of Adar. It's also the beginning of March, and therefore the dates kind of throughout this, certainly and towards the end of the month, are going to be exactly the same. The 1st of Adar, 1st of March, 2nd of Adar, 2nd of March, and so on. There's something synchronistic about it, although we don't pay too much attention to it, because as we know, our Jewish calendar is the perfect calendar. Our Jewish calendar is the one that has to do with our souls. It's not only made for the marking of a yahrzeit, but in fact birthdays should be noted on the Jewish calendar. Anniversaries, special dates, special events should all follow the Jewish calendar. That is what governs our Jewish lives, rather than giving ourselves over to the guidance, the credence of the secular calendar, which was all devised actually originally by the popes, by the church, and had a lot to do with Christocentric stuff, although the whole world kind of adopted it. We know that our calendar goes way, way beyond that. And in fact, we are due for a number of interesting things that are going to be coming up, and we're going to be talking about them in a moment in the Jewish calendar. But let's suffice to say that today is the anniversary on the 28th of Shvat, which is today, to an event that happened in 134 before the Common Era. And that was Antiochus V. Now, in those days, it seemed to be like the target if you were a ruler of Rome or Greece or the Assyrians or the Persians. One of the targets had to be the siege of Jerusalem. It's always been on the agenda, something that everybody has been captivated by and wanted to take captive, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, the holy city of Jerusalem. And it was actually on the 28th of Shvat that Antiochus V abandoned his siege of Jerusalem and his plans for the city's destruction. And so in the time of the Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans, they actually observed the 28th of Shvat as a holiday. Well, wonderful to have another cause to celebrate. But it seems a little strange that we are celebrating where people have laid off destroying Jerusalem. Why do they want to? Why are they possessed by it? Why is it something that they want to chup all the time? Just let it be the holy city of the Jewish people, the center of the world, and let it remain that way. We also have something interesting coming up over the weekend, and that is that on the 1st of Adar, was actually in 1313 before the Common Era, the ninth plague to strike the Egyptians for the refusal to release the children of Israel from slavery was a plague of thick darkness. Blanketed the land, no man could see his fellow, no man could move from his place. That actually commenced on the 1st of Adar, and that was exactly 6 weeks, of course, before Yetziat Mitzrayim, before the Exodus, when we know we got out of there on Pesach in the middle of the month of Nisan. It also happens to be the date of the Yahrzeit, Rosh Chodesh Adar, or the passing of the Ibn Ezra in 1164. Highly regarded biblical commentator, Rabbi Avrom ben Meir Ibn Ezra, passed away on the 1st of Adar in 4924. It was also the passing of the Shach around 1663. It's amazing, a personality like the Shach, who was named after his classic work, Siftei Kohen, commentary on Rabbi Yosef Karo's Code of Jewish Law. He became known as the Shach, an acronym for the name of his work. It serves as a primary source of halakha, of Jewish law today, still, and it was this great Rabbi Shapsi HaKohen Katz. The amazing thing is that he lived from 1621 to 1663, believe it or not, 42 years old, and yet goes down as one of the greats of Jewish law. Great work, incredible application, incredible mind, incredible insight, and all of that in such a short lifetime. In 421, of the, before the Common Era, Yechezkel foretold of Egypt's downfall. Egypt, on this day, in the year following the Holy Temple's destruction, Hashem tells Yechezkel to take up a lamentation for Pare, the king of Egypt, foretelling his downfall to, in the hands of the Babylonians. So all of that is combined on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first of Adar, which comes up, of course, in a few days' time. If we skip forward a little bit to the third of Adar, at the date of the completion of the second Beis HaMikdash in 349 before the Common Era, was on the third of Adar in 349 rather, or before the Common Era. And a joyous dedication of the Beis HaMikdash on the side of the first temple in Yerushalayim was celebrated after 4 years of work. We've got to remember that this has a link, of course, to the Purim story, because it was Achashverosh and his terrible right-hand man by the name of Haman, but Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and Achashverosh was the king, and he had been celebrating the downfall of Yerushalayim when the whole Purim story started, thinking that the 70 years that were predicted by the prophet Yirmiyahu, where he spoke about, he said, thus says God, after 70 years of Babylon, I will visit you and return you to its place, that when we have that prophecy and it didn't happen, or so they calculated, they thought that the 70 years was up, they began their celebrations thinking that it was all over. And in fact, it was only a couple years later that, after the Purim story, that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or the temple in Yerushalayim, was rededicated. And on the third of Adar, Gimel Adar, all that way back then. So we've got so many incredible things that are lined up this week, and I think that most of them carry with them a very, very similar theme. Let's also just note that this is also a very, very special Shabbos coming up, and we need to talk about that in a moment. But let's just pause for a moment and think about these things that we have mentioned that all occur at this time. First of all, Plague of Darkness we mentioned, which has to do with Rosh Chodesh Adar, the idea of our imminent exodus from Egypt, and the darkness that befell us. But we looked at darkness then as a great bracha. It was a great opportunity for us to be able to actually kind of be packing our things, getting our stuff ready, because we knew that we were quitting Mitzrayim, we were quitting Egypt, and waiting for it literally with bated breath for it all to happen in our exodus from Mitzrayim. Also the fact that Antiochus called off his siege of Yerushalayim, also coupled with the idea that the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, was going to be rebuilt, that it was about to happen. It all speaks of the kind of the ambivalence, but the dual program that we actually live with at all times as Jews. Number one is that while there may be darkness around, while there may be difficulties, problems, issues, those out there who want to try and destroy us, we always know that Hashem comes to our rescue, that things will look up, that eventually the Antiochuses, the Achashveroshes, the Hamans, the Hamases of the world will be undone. They will be thwarted. They will be conquered. It is somehow part of this narrative. Not sure why they didn't get the script and why they didn't read it before they started their onslaughts against the Jewish people.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
So welcome back. It's Rabbi Michael Katz here with you on Judaism 101.9. And we are talking about the week ahead, the things that are coming up. And of course, a very, very special weekend and a very, very special few days coming up. Besides all the things that we mentioned just before the break, here we have a greatly eventful Shabbos that is coming up. Now, I'm not sure if you all know what is so unique about this Shabbat. Well, it may have to do with the fact that there is a certain number of Torahs from which we are going to be reading on this coming Shabbat. Yes, this is one of those unique occasions. In fact, there are only four such possibilities in the year. One of them is a definite, and that is that on Simchat Torah, we take out and read from three Torahs. It can also be on Shabbat Chanukah, which happens to also coincide with Rosh Chodesh. Now, that doesn't always happen. And then you would have the Shabbos Torah reading, the Chanukah Torah reading, and the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading and the Chanukah Torah reading. It could also happen on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when Rosh Chodesh Nisan coincides with Shabbat, and it would be Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachen, the special instruction about our calendar, which we were talking about before. And then this Shabbos is the fourth possible combination, where you have Rosh Chodesh falling on Shabbat, and it is Parshat Shekalim, which is the instruction for us to get our financial tax things in place, our tzedakah, our charity, the tithing has to all be sorted before the onset of Purim. And in fact, we always have that ceremony before Purim where we give three shekels, the machatzita shekel, which is still done in shuls today, before Purim comes in, and the warning comes before we get into the month of Adar. This is the month of tax year in, so to speak, and it's a time when we have to deal with all of that stuff. So, on this coming Shabbos, reading from three Sifrei Torah. I've mentioned here before, and it's important for you to remember on Judaism 101.9, that we have the principle in Jewish law of Todir v'she'eno Todir, Todir Kodem, which means that if you have something that is regular and something that's not so regular, the regular comes first. And it applies, I think, to the Torah readings of this coming Shabbat. The regular Torah reading for Shabbos takes precedence. It's read out of the first Torah. The second one is for Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh occurs 12 and sometimes even, it's 12 and sometimes 11 times during the year that we would read a Rosh Chodesh reading, and therefore it's a little bit more regular and sometimes twice in a month, so it's on those Rosh Chodeshes, if you know what I mean, that we read the Torah reading for Rosh Chodesh, all the offerings that were brought on Rosh Chodesh, and then Shkalim, which occurs once a year. So once a year we have the a reading of Shkalim, all about the half shekel that had to be brought as a donation originally for the Mishkan, then continued supporting the communal activities of the Mishkan, of the Tabernacle, of the Temple, of Beit HaMikdash, and so on. And it is read once a year in one of the four special parashiot that are read before Pesach, two before Purim, two before Pesach. And so it gets us into the feeling that things are starting to go places in this year. It's coming up for Purim, it's coming up for Pesach. They're literally just around the corner. And it all comes together on this Shabbos, of course, with three Sifrei Torah. Three Torahs are taken out of the Ark. Three different parshas are read. Six people would be called up to the first one, one for Rosh Chodesh and then one for Shkalim. The Haftorah will be all about Shkalim, adding, as many do, a few lines sometimes about Rosh Chodesh as well, because those things coincide. So, a combination of three special Torahs. Now, there was a tradition that many had that on a Shabbos where we read more than one Torah, that you would have more than one kugel on your Shabbos table. And we're talking, of course, of a kugel being an edible type of food that Yidden, that Jews always ate at the Shabbos table, either made of lokshin, potatoes, other substances to make what is translated perhaps incorrectly as a pudding, but it's not a pudding, it's a kugel. And these kugelach, these kugels, often coincided with or corresponded to the number of Torahs that were taken out. And so on this Shabbos, if you keep to that tradition, it'll be three that you've got to get through on this coming Shabbos to add to the simcha. But perhaps for those who are not into the kugel stuff, we could say three l'chaims, or we could have three toasts, three ideas of celebration because of the triple header that is actually coming up on this Shabbos. But it all heralds the arrival, in fact, from tomorrow night already, of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now, so much has been spoken about and written about and thought about Rosh Chodesh Adar, besides for all the things that we mentioned before that happened throughout history on this date of people and of events and so on that was significant. But Rosh Chodesh Adar, we are told in the Talmud that Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, which means when the month of Adar comes in, we increase in joy. Happiness starts here. This is where joy, where simcha really comes to the fore, where it really comes in. And it's a little odd, I think you might agree, that this is not said about the month in which we got out of Egypt. It's not said about the month in which we received the Torah. It's not said in the month in which we dance with our Torahs and Simchat Torah. But it is said about this month, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. And we're told that, of course, it has a tremendous amount to do with the Purim story. So Purim occurs in the middle of this coming month. A couple of weeks from Friday is Purim. And on Purim, of course, we know that not only do we read the Megillah twice and do we have a festive meal and we have the Simcha of Purim of Mishloach Manot and Matanos Levyonim and all those other wonderful things that we do to celebrate Purim, but Purim commemorates a time when anti-Semitism reared its ugly head in many different ways. There was the anti-Semitism, which we've discussed before, of Achashverosh. There was the anti-Semitism that abounded everywhere, and there was the anti-Semitism of Haman. And Haman realized something quite amazing. All he had to do was open the floodgates, and everybody wanted to join in on the bandwagon. All he had to do was say that he wanted to get rid of the Jewish, the Jews. He wanted to get rid of the Jewish people. It completely illogical. As anti-Semitism is, because he was saying he wanted to get rid of the Jews because Mordechai did not bow down to him. Now, surely it stands to reason then that a lot of the other Jews probably did bow down to him. So this is how anti-Semitism works, you see. The one who doesn't becomes the representative for the whole Jewish people, and you therefore have to take it out on everybody. Talk about collective punishment and talk about proportionality, etc., etc., etc. Well, that's never actually worked in the favor of Jews ever throughout history. And here we had Haman, Achashverosh banding together, plotting together to destroy all Jews everywhere. But it wasn't enough for Haman to want to do this. He wanted to try and prove, in inverted commas, that the gods were on his side as well. And whatever he deemed to be, whether it was God himself or whether it was the idea of luck, of chance, he drew lots. And that's what the story, what the meaning of the word Purim actually is. Lots, he drew lots. He spun a wheel. He did a lottery, kind of a draw. He picked out sticks and he knew that he was on the right track when it came out that the Jewish people should be destroyed in the month of Adar. The month of Adar was going to be this month in which the Jewish people were going to be destroyed, and he was jumping for joy. Isn't this incredible? The spiritual worlds out there, so to speak, have given me the sign, he felt, that here destruction of the Jewish people can take place in Adar, because of course it's a sad month for the Jewish people. This is a time when Moses passed away. Moses died on the 7th of Adar, and therefore it is the most incredible thing. Their great leader, for whom we still mourn, we still think about every Shabbos afternoon, the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our great leader. And therefore this is obviously a time when the Jewish people are down. They're down, they've lost Moses. They're down, they've lost their Beit HaMikdash. They've lost their temple. Remember, this was after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. They are wandering. They are mefuzaru, mefurad beina amim. They are broken up, split up, and dispersed amongst all the people. There is nothing going for this a mixed rabble of Jews who are lost and floundering everywhere and in darkness. Oh, this is the greatest opportunity to get rid of them. Let's jump on them when they're vulnerable. Let's jump on them when they're not expecting it. Let's jump on them when they are down. This is going to be the opportunity. And when they're thinking about the passing of Moses, isn't this incredible how this all happened? What Haman and his ilk fail to realize is that the Jewish people aren't defined, number one, by this world. We have the world to come as well, and we do not believe that our souls only come into this world, but they certainly outlast and they're going to the next. We have things that are eternal that we adhere to, our Torah and our mitzvot, and therefore the threats of physical harm, of physical attacks, of physical extermination, like Haman and others of his ilk have tried to do over the ages, it doesn't really resonate with us, and it's not really a great threat. We know that we're above that. We're beyond that. We've got an enduring, everlasting connection to God Almighty, and we know that He always pulls through for us. And not only that, but when Jews take a look at the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Moses, we also know that it was his birthday. If it wasn't for Zion Adar, for the month of Adar, we wouldn't have had Moses in the first place. And so this is how the Jewish people, how Jews, how Torah looks at all of these things. We take a look at them all and we say, you know what? There is a world out there that's filled with people who may be anti-Semitic. There's a world out there that's filled with people who may have a qualm, a jealousy, a feeling of animosity towards Jews or the Jewish people. They may want to jump on the bandwagon when things look like they're down. It was an incredible feature of October the 7th, of course, that the Jewish people get attacked in this brutal, wanton attack that happened on Simchat Torah in Israel. And the very next day, the anti-Semites are crawling out from all over the place. The Jews are down. Let's go for it. Let's hit them. They're licking their wounds. They're mourning. They're sad. This is the most opportune time. This was the way of Haman. But we celebrate Adar because out of that darkness came the greatest light. We celebrate Adar because we know that Hashem, God, stood up for us. We know that we had, yes, we had Mordechai and Esther in high places, but they didn't do anything until they had the spiritual buy-in from heaven, from Shamayim. They knew that this was all about a heavenly decree. And they therefore got people to fast, and they got people together to daven, and they got people together to give tzedakah, and they tried their utmost to unite people, to bring Am Yisrael back together again, to tell us Am Yisrael Chai, and that is the greatest accolade that we can give and present, I suppose, to God as well, to say, we're together, we're here, we're alive, we still believe in you, we are still standing, and we are still observing, and we're still committed. And Hashem says, this is my people. This is the people that I love. And nobody is going to be able to wipe them away as they want to do. And nobody is going to be able to change the fact that Am Yisrael, that the Jewish people will endure, that they will still be here to tell the tale, and that Adar will be a month of great joy. It came out of the depths of darkness, when every single Jew in the whole known world was destined to be destroyed under Haman's decree. And yet, it turned into the greatest time of celebration and eventually led to the building of that second Beit HaMikdash that we mentioned before.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Welcome back. So the theme of Purim, of course, and what it is all about, as we mentioned before, the idea of God standing by us even when we're down and even when we seem to be out. We were outed. We were ousted from Yerushalayim. We were ousted from our Beit HaMikdash, from our temple. We're now in Babylon, which becomes Persia, and we're in the same place where Persian influence seems to have reared its ugly head again in our world and in the world of the Middle East and so on. We've got to remember that even though it may seem that this is a time when we are down, when there is darkness that abounds, no, this Purim story comes to encourage us and to tell us that even though we may not be in our Beit HaMikdash, we may not have the full redemption yet. It is on its way. It's coming soon. And this is the time of turnaround. It is the month of Adar when joy, happiness is infectious. It takes its pride of place in the entire month just because of Purim. The whole month is influenced by it. Now, there's not another month like that. There's not another chag like that, where the whole month is absolutely, continually, and completely influenced to the extent that we say, "Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha." It's not just that this is a good time to make parties, bar mitzvahs, weddings, engagements, simchas, birthday parties, whatever. It's not just that we should make simcha. It is that this is a time of simcha. It's a time of joy. And joy is the mainstay of Jewish life. And during this month of Adar, we increase in our joy. We have more joy than usual. We are obligated to be in this frame of mind of joy. Even though things may have been dark, Hashem came to the rescue. Even though it may have seemed on paper, so to speak, that the Jewish people were down and out, we were done and dusted. God forbid, never, impossible, because we're connected to God Almighty. We're connected to the things that are eternal. We're connected to things that endure, that go beyond. And even though, yes, we have our ups and downs, and we have ups and downs in our own lives, and perhaps this is the message of Adar as well, ups and downs in our own lives. Sometimes don't feel that happy. There are things that are getting us down. We've got issues. We've got problems. We've got relationship issues, or we've got financial issues, or we've got personality issues, or we've got health issues, or whatever they may be that seem to be getting us down. And then sometimes we have the highs. There's wonderful things. A great event happens. Our kids give us nachas. We feel great with our beloved spouse. We are flying high, and then anticlimax. There is something that brings us crashing down to earth again. This is the way that life goes. This is the way that the world goes, and this is the way that the history of the Jewish people has gone. But there is something that has been constant and consistent throughout, and that is our adherence to God and His adherence to us. Our unique connection with God Almighty through our Torah, through our mitzvot. This is consistent. This is constant. And although people may have kept it to a lesser or greater degree, this is the stuff of which the Jewish people are really made. Our commitment to God, God's commitment to us, this is undeniable. And this is the message of the month of Adar. And it's that that we cheer. And it's that that we raise our glasses to. It's that that we actually allow to elevate ourselves. This idea of a simcha that pervades the simple, a simcha that pervades, that goes way beyond the mundane, the physical, the material, the down to earth. It goes way beyond any of our problems, any of our difficulties, our ailments, our harshnesses, the things that happen that we really, really don't appreciate and we don't like. It goes way beyond that. It brings out the consistency and the absolute best in us, which is our neshamot, our souls, which are connected in this eternal relationship with God Almighty. This is what we're saluting, and this is what we're happy about. This is what we're joyous about. And please God, very soon we will see the resolution and the result and the fruition of everything that we've been waiting for in that relationship, when God has promised us that He will send us Mashiach, that He'll send us a world that will be rid of darkness, of peace, of war. It'll be a place that is filled just with peace, happiness, and lots of time to enjoy it all. So we look forward to that very, very soon. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Besimcha.